proceeding. Thank you. Good morning. It is good to be here. It's always good to be together in the house of the Lord and with the Lord's people. So thank you to each one that came out this morning, and trust that we can have a good time looking into the Word together. My message this morning is entitled Living Water, and a verse that I have as my theme verse, but we're not going to go to the book of John, is John 7:38. He that believeth on me, this is Jesus speaking, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I heard a man share his, it was his testimony, or I guess I really don't remember exactly what he was sharing. It was something that was on a CD that I don't remember the details at all. But I remember him saying that, if I remember right, he was in Florida. So kind of like Tom's in Idaho and now he's sharing this morning. It was something like that. And he said, I kind of had short notice this morning. But he said, I've always felt it was better to share or preach from my study, the study that I'm doing anyways. It's better to do that than it is to study for what I'm going to share. And so that's what I'm doing a little bit this morning. I'm going to be sharing something that I came across in the last couple of weeks that just really kind of jumped out at me, I guess. I would invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 12. I shared Wednesday night that I've taken this chapter. There's only six verses. I printed this out and I taped it to my truck dash. I'm trying to memorize this. I still don't have it all down. But I would like for us to look at it and especially focus on the first three verses. But Isaiah chapter 12. And I think I'll just go ahead and read that first. So let's read Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day, and notice that phrase, we'll be coming back to that later. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And I apologize to the children. I did not get children's notes, or maybe children of all ages this morning that enjoy using those. We have had a family reunion. I guess maybe I'm making excuses. We had a family reunion this week, and my time was kind of arranged for me this weekend, maybe I'll say. We had things going on at work Friday that weren't anticipated and so on. But anyways, as I was reading this, verse 3 jumped out at me. Therefore, with joy, if I can get this on here, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, one thing that happens when you are a minister, and actually Harold shared a video this morning, I was telling Harold, it's really easy for me to read things, to hear things, and whatever, to process them as a minister. Oh, this is something that would be good for the people to hear. This would be something that would be good to share with the people. Rather than taking it and making it my own, seeing myself more as a conveyor maybe, I'm getting good things and bringing them to you and not taking the time to make them my own first or in the process. So when I saw, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now that's part of my job. That's part of my responsibility to draw water out of the wells of salvation and bring them to you. So I saw there's a therefore. What do we do when we see a therefore or a wherefore? We see what it's there for. Therefore is not just some big word that you use to make yourself sound important or to make it sound special or something. You don't say, oh, therefore I am going to go take a nap. That makes no sense. We say, I am tired. I need a nap. Therefore, I am going to go lie down. Therefore means because of this. When we are reading that therefore is so important. Let's look at some examples of where knowing what the therefore means help us understand understand what we're looking at. So we have Genesis 2:24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh. Okay, well that's a good verse. But if we would take it into our language, because of this shall a man leave his father and his mother. So then we read it, and the rib, starting verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Because of this shall a man leave his father and his mother. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. If we go to Matthew, is this thing just simply not working? I don't know. Okay, I guess I'll just let you run that. Okay, if we go to Matthew 28 and we read verse 19, if you ask someone, what is the Great Commission? How does the Great Commission start? And I kind of like to do this just because I'm ornery. But I'm sorry, I missed one. Psalm 36, can we back that up? Psalm 36 verse 7 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, or because of this, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Because of your loving kindness, the children of men trust you. Okay, Matthew 28. We usually say that the Great Commission starts with, go ye therefore. Well, there's a therefore. Go ye because of this. What is the because of this? What is the therefore, therefore? If we go back one verse to Matthew 18, or Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go ye because of this, because all power is given unto me. Go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The next one, the next example would be Romans chapter 12, verse 20. If you look at verse 20, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. We quote that verse. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Why? Because of what? Dearly beloved, verse 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. What do we want to do with our enemy? We want to avenge ourselves. We want to deal with them the way we see fit. We want to settle this. Get even. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, because of this, because vengeance belongs to the Lord, because he will repay, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Excuse me. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. Be sober because the end is near. And watch unto prayer. Revelation 3:19. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. When you feel that you are rebuked and chastened, don't let that discourage you. Don't let that be, God doesn't like me. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. Be zealous because you realize I do this in love. And repent. So again, going back to verse 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. So what is the therefore? Why will I draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy? So let's look. Going back to verse 1, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, and in that day. So now we see he's referring to something else again. We see a therefore, that tells us we need to go back and look, what's the reason? And then we read in the first part of the chapter, the first words of the chapter are, and in that day. So now we say, well, what day is he referring to? So now let's go back further yet, and let's go to chapter 11. And I guess I'll just so you know, I read just like anyone else. As I'm reading down through here, I'm reading through chapter 12, and your mind can be 100 places if you're not disciplined and focused and honed in. And I read that, therefore with joy, so you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And all of a sudden I thought, whoa, now what's this talking about? So that's when the verses I had already just read, I started going back and looking at them, and that's when it all started really meaning something to me. So it's always worth it to go back and dig a little deeper. So let's read, I want to read the entire chapter of Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, there's that phrase again, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign, or a flag or a banner of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign. There's that word again. He shall set up a banner of something that draws the nations, something for the nations to be drawn to. He shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. So this is a prophecy, and again, I know we can get into the idea of the church having replaced Israel, and Israel still being valid, and all the different views, and we're not going to get into that, but I guess where I'm at on that is I don't believe in total, how should I say this? There seems to be evidence for the church having replaced Israel. There seems to be a lot of evidence for God still being actively involved in Israel. So I don't know how that all plays together. I think if you look in the New Testament, there's a number of places where the disciples would say, or Jesus would say, this is done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. Well, obviously that prophecy that they referred to had been fulfilled in another way or referred to something else. So they were saying it had a double meaning. And I believe that's what a lot of these prophecies have. And I think that can be part of the problem in us trying to be too dogmatic on issues, is that often prophecy, prophetic scriptures, will have more than one meaning and more than one way of being fulfilled. So I guess what I'm saying in all of this is I believe that we can take chapter 12 and the things that are talked about and the relationship that we have with God and apply it to us as well as it being applied to Israel in that day. So we have in verse 3, therefore, with joy shall do this. Therefore, referring to the first two verses, and then in the first part of verse 1, and in that day, referring to a certain day or a certain happening or fulfillment. So we have that in verse 10, in chapter 11, verse 10, it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Verse 11, it shall come to pass in that day. And then chapter 12, verse 1, and in that day thou shalt say, and then down to verse 4 in chapter 12, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. So there's four times where he references, and in that day. And that could mean an age, that could mean a time frame, it could mean whatever. But okay, so there's a little bit of a background. So now let's look more at what he says. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. And then he says, why? Why will I praise him? Why will we praise him in that day? Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. You know, a lot of times and a lot of things, if our anger is turned away from something, we might begin to tolerate it. This is a complete 180. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. The very one whose anger we had to fear is now the one that we go to for comfort. The fact that God was angry with me makes it that much more significant that he now comforts me. Something that has something to do as a minister, or maybe when we share the gospel with a neighbor or whoever it might be, is to try to tame God's character down just a little bit. Tame his personality. And really focus on trying to show how much he loves them. When we share the gospel, we try not to mention his wrath or his judgment too much. We want them to know about his love. It is very true and very amazing that God loves us. But it is impossible to truly appreciate the significance of that unless we first understand his sovereignty and his holiness. If you tell me that your dog loves you, I'm going to say he'd better love you. You feed him. That means nothing. If If I say my wife and children love me, now that's on another entirely different plane than saying that my dog loves me. My dog doesn't truly love me anyways, but he appreciates that I feed him or that I play with him or whatever. My children and my wife love me at a much different level, but it is still me receiving love from an equal. From someone, hear me right, but someone no better than me. In a sense, you could say that they owe it to me. Maybe I think they owe it to me because I think I'm a good person. Maybe they owe it to me just because I'm her husband and their father. But we are a family. They are supposed to love me. When it comes to God, and we really think about it, should God love me? Should He love you? No. And that's what makes it so amazing. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Never lose the wonder. Never reduce God to someone who overlooks sin, but rather someone who in His great love made a way for sin to be dealt with and removed. There's a quote that I have, and I don't know this man at all. It's H. Richard Niebuhr, and in The Kingdom of God in America, a book that he wrote, said that the liberal social gospel proclaims that a God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. Well, that sounds nice, but a phrase that I've started using lately is, it just ain't so. God is love. God does seek mankind. But never let it become something in your mind as something that you deserve. God is a God of wrath. Man sinned. The kingdom does have judgment. And Christ needed a cross. But as we turn from self and the world, as we seek His face, He comforts us. Verse 2 says, "Behold," this is back in Isaiah chapter 12, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." I saw that in a way I've never seen it before as I read this. I think the way we would usually look at this and maybe even the intended meaning, but again, I think often you can look at things from more than one way. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Usually we would take that and say, God is my salvation. He's my shelter. He's my cleft in the rock. And though Satan come against me, the storms, the trials of life, all of those things, He's my rock. I will trust and not be afraid. That's a reality. But I think an even greater reality, an even more amazing thing, is that this God is someone who is my salvation. I don't need to be afraid of Him. I can trust and not be afraid. God is my salvation. So instead of saying, "Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid," we look at Him And we say, behold, God, in the next part of that verse, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. So we turn and go to Him, realizing that we no longer need to, or that we now may trust and not be afraid of coming into His presence. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And then we have another therefore in Hebrews 10. And again, we often start right here in Hebrews 19. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Well, okay, we can go on from there and make sense of it a little bit, but it says, having because of this boldness to enter into the holiest. So we back up and we say, what is the therefore speaking to? What's that referring to? So we go back to verse 16 in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Can you advance that? There we go. This is God speaking. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, because God will put His law into our hearts, because He will write them in our minds, because our sins and iniquities He will remember no more, because of this, brethren, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Therefore, with joy, go ahead to the next slide, Logan, please. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I guess this is where I was challenged in this. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I would have to think that these rivers would at least in part refer to our words. Would those around me describe my words as living, as life-giving? They'd probably describe my words as a river sometimes. This kind of flows. Are my words living? Are they life-giving? Is there life in what's coming out of me? Am I drawing water out of the well on a regular basis? And this is what I would like for you to take away from this morning. Draw water out of the well. Jesus is the well. The water being the life that He gives. The Spirit that He gives. Am I drawing water out of the well on a regular basis? And again, referring back to what I said, that's so easy for me to do, is to draw that water out and give it to someone else. Am I drawing water out of the well on a regular basis, drinking deeply myself, and sharing it around with others? I think I'll read the last three verses again, but then we're going to close. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted, sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. In Acts 8, chapter 4, there's a verse that says, therefore they went everywhere preaching the word. Another therefore. Therefore they went everywhere preaching the word or preaching the gospel. I'm not sure exactly what it says. What's that therefore referring to? Why did they go everywhere preaching the gospel? In Acts 8, it says, therefore they went, is referring to the church. Therefore they went everywhere preaching. Nobody knows? Because they were persecuted and scattered. The result of persecution was that they went everywhere preaching the word. And there's nothing wrong with running away from persecution. Jesus said, if they persecute you in this city, go to the next. My question is, if persecution made them go everywhere sharing the word, what do our circumstances cause us to do? Are we going everywhere? Are we drinking? Are we drawing that water out, drinking deeply, and sharing it around? Or do people not really know that we have anything to share? Just a challenge. I don't know. I was just really, the whole thing of praising the Lord in that day, praising the Lord, and drawing wells or drawing water out with joy, and then passing that on. I think it's just a beautiful thing that we can do, having that relationship with God. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I ask you to stand and have prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you that you are become our salvation. Thank you that you are our salvation and we can trust and not be afraid. Help us, Lord, to appreciate that you are God, that you are sovereign. Help us, Lord, to grasp and understand that you are holy. And out of that understanding, to appreciate the magnitude of your love. Bless your word. Bless each one that's here. We thank you. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.